RTE2FM. Last week on Newsy Bits, we chatted about moving in with a partner, and if there ever is a right time, loads of people chimed in on both sides of the discussion. So we thought, well, let's ask an expert. Sex and relationship expert Rachel Cook joins me every Wednesday, and she's on the line now. Rachel, good morning.
Hiya, Jen. How's it going?
Good, good. Okay, Rachel, let's get stuck in. What is the state of play in 2023? Are the majority of couples still moving in together, or are more people living apart? What's happening out there?
Yeah, well, both are true. So the majority of people are still moving in together, but there are more and more people choosing where possible, because obviously money is usually the factor. But more and more people are choosing to live apart, you know, and to be able to potentially still spend lots of time with each other, staying at each other's places. But lots of people are really seeing the benefits to not living together. So we have both of those at the same time.
Amazing. But is there a rule of thumb about how long should people be in a relationship, if, you know, before they move in? Or how do you know, I suppose is the question, how do you know when it's the right time if you want to do that?
Yeah, so I mean, I have definitely heard of people who've moved in together, you know, either because they had to, you know, but the pandemic obviously was a big one for lots of people moving in together, maybe much before they maybe actually felt ready to do it. But I would say, you know, it's not really about the time. It's going to be about a set of circumstances where if you're tied in for a year together, which is usually the state of renting, right? That's going to be quite difficult if you're moving into a one bed place where if you don't know each other particularly well, i.e. you've been going out for less than a couple of years, I'd probably say it's just going to be more risky that if things break down between you and you're finding it really painful that, you know, one of you is not probably going to be able to pay the rent on your own, and then you're going to have to pay to break the, you know, lease clause and all of that. So I would say, you know, there's definitely people out there who find that moving in after a few months has worked amazingly well for them. But a rule of thumb, I would say, is probably between a year and 2 years, and that you have been in quite a lot of different situations with each other. You kind of want to know, how do you each handle stress? How do you each, you know, kind of handle wanting to be together, wanting to have time separately, having your own hobbies? You know, what is your approach to cooking, to sleeping, your bedtime? All of these things are important factors, which, you know, even for people who get on really, really well together, sometimes it's the cohabiting that can really mean that they, you know, find their relationship becomes very, very difficult and unsatisfying.
Should the couple sit down and do some kind of survey or questionnaire and set out some ground rules prior to taking that leap?
Oh my God, big time. You know, I do this with couples all the time. They'll come to me and say, we've been together, you know, 2 years, 3 years, whatever amount of time it is, and we're considering moving in together. We have our reservations and we're also really excited about it. What are some things that we should think about? And so, you know, there's the obvious stuff, like what are the areas that you want to live? Because again, sometimes you think someone's going to be really on the same kind of wavelength as you with the area and the type of home, whether that's an apartment or a house or whatever, whether there's the potential to also live with other people, or you just want it to be the two of you. You know, there's the obvious kind of stuff about that. And then there's things like, you know, do both of you have your own, you know, furniture and stuff? How much storage are you going to need? Talk about household responsibilities. I mean, that's a massive
yes.
one. Because, you know, as we know, there's very much, you know, a kind of gender gap in terms of household labor and emotional labor that in kind of couples between men and women tends to fall to women much, much more. And so you really need to talk about your expectations of each other around cooking, cleaning, shopping, gardening, if you've got a garden, you know, keeping up with stuff, because I often find that, you know, women just want things. They've learnt, been socialised to be kind of on top of this stuff much more, because we're often thinking about it from a much earlier age. Now, that's not all women, it's not all men, but it just means that often you'll find there's this real disparity where women end up feeling really, you know, kind of burdened by being in a house with what feels like a dirty kind of teenager. And the
good
men
advice.
Often feel really kind of like they're constantly being harangued by
yeah.
this woman who's turned into a harpy and just keeps telling them that he's doing everything wrong.
Or what I find after 14 yeah. years living with the same person,
yeah.
even to this day, we both think we do more. So I think you're right. I think if you sit down and go, well, I'll do this, I'll do the maggots in the brown bin, and I'll do the garden, I'll do this, and I'll do this, and the other person, well, I change the beds, and I don't mind doing the jacks and the toilet and all that kind of stuff. If you set that out, you will, oh my God, you'll probably avoid so much hassle and aggro down the line and initially moving in. But if you're very clear on the household chores, and sorry to bang on about this, I know it's a bone of contention in my head at the moment, but it is one of the things that we talk about on the show quite a bit, and it can just fester and never get rectified. So if you do it initially, Graham, if you're moving in with your bird or whoever, you know, get those ground rules straight away.
Big time. You know what? It's also one of the biggest, if not the biggest, sex killer of all time is couples finding that because they're griping over kind of household chores and stuff like that, and the management of the home and childcare often is a big one as well, that it's just really unsexy, you know, particularly for the woman if it is a heterosexual couple. You will also see that there's going to be divides in terms of kind of personality and preferences and stuff in, you know, gay couples, bisexual, lesbian, all the rest. You know, it's just not only about it being heterosexual couples, but there just tends to be more of a gender difference when it is a man
sex
and a woman
killer.
Living together.
That is so funny. Big I've time. Never heard you say that before. What is your sex killer? 51552. I'd love to hear from you guys. What is just killed it?
Well, and I feel sad about the fact that I so often hear women saying, you know, if only he would, you know, wash up the dishes, I'd be mad to have sex with him.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't that crazy? Well, text me. I'd love to hear what yours is. Okay. I've heard this so many times, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Are you always going to be at a disadvantage moving into one person's home rather than finding a new place together as equals?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, again, I've met lots and lots of couples who will say, you know, they kind of had to end up moving into one of their places. Maybe they'd already, one of them already owned a place. The other one was renting. Maybe one of them owned a place, but they were trying to get rid of it and couldn't. You know, there's loads of reasons why you might end up living in one person's previous place. Or maybe, you know, it was a two bedroom place. The person was living with a flatmate and it actually is lovely for both of you to live there together. Now you can have a two bed place, just the two of you, which in some ways can also be a really ideal setup for people, if you know, kind of financially allowing. But that, yeah, you will often find that it takes a lot for the partner moving into the other person's place when it has, you know, previously been their place. It can often just mean that the other person doesn't quite feel like it's theirs. So you might have to have a lot of negotiation around the switching up of furniture, maybe changing the layout of things, as well as, you know, what actual kind of how much, you know, different items of the person moving in are now kind of around and on display, and that they feel like they're kind of making their mark or making their stamp on the place. So I would say you're not always at a disadvantage, but you really, you know, you may have to have quite a lot of conversations about how you can feel as though you're on equal footing when someone might have been in that place for years prior and have their particular way of doing things and all of their stuff in there. So it's another one to discuss.
Okay. Rachel, if you don't get on while living together, is that like, is that it? Is that the end?
Definitely not. Definitely not. You know, we in our society, there's very much, you know, our culture particularly, there's this idea that there's a relationship escalator. You know, you date, then you're exclusive, you're in a relationship. You know, maybe you move in together, then you might get married, you have kids. Now, it doesn't necessarily often happen in that exact order, but there's kind of an escalator, a sense that you're going upwards along this path and that at the end you will have a house together and children, and then you're kind of, you know, you've made it. And the thing is, it just parts of that just don't work for certain people. As we've talked about a million times, some people don't want to have kids. Some people would much prefer to have pets or none of those. You know, some people find that they move in together and it works really well for them for a year or two, and then maybe their circumstances change, a job changes, stress, or they just find that they don't really want to live together anymore. That does not have to mean the end of the relationship. It doesn't have to mean that you've failed. It could just mean this is a period in your life where you'd like more space, more kind of boundaried separation and ways to have more quality time together, because that's often what happens when you live together. You find that you don't have as much quality time together because you have all this in-betweeny kind of time. And so, no, you're definitely not doomed if you find that you don't live well together.
Is it possible to co-parent well with two parents living in separate homes?
You know what?
And how do you do that?
It actually is. And this is, in some ways, I've heard lots of couples or, you know, people who have now maybe separated, who have managed to make it much more amicable and fair between them. Now, I'm not saying it's necessarily what people should be striving for, but that actually, you know, loads of people who have, let's say, stayed together for quite a long period, unhappily together, but because they have young children or because, you know, often it's because they can't financially afford to move out and have two separate homes. But if that is possible, you know, if you can find that you are in reasonably close proximity so that it's easy enough to be able for the kids to go to school and to between the two homes, and you work out a proper rota and schedule, you know, which it might be like 5 days in one house, 5 days in the other, so that you, you know, end up not necessarily having it where it's just one of you has the kids on the weekdays and one of you has them on the weekends, unless, of course, that setup works for the two of you, that actually living apart and co-parenting often means that the relationship between the parents is way more amicable. No, you know, people feel so much less resentful often. The communication gets better. And, you know, usually the kids are happier if the parents are happier. So it is possible to do. It's usually just the money issue that means it can be difficult to have two homes.
So much going on with this topic. And Rachel, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That is psychotherapist and mental health consultant Rachel Cook. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.